And as we continue to look around the world at current events that seemingly are setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled, we have to have a conversation with Rob Congdon. He's our man who watches the European Union. He knows what's happening in that part of the world, lived there for the last number of years. And we bring him as our broadcast partner to the microphones to assist us. Rob, it's great to have you along today.
Great to be here.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rob. Happy
birthday. Well, thank you.
It is your birthday, right?
Yes, it is.
Now, how old would you be?
Oh, old enough to not tell.
Oh, you rascal, you. Well, happy birthday, and hope you have many more in the future and allow the Lord to use you indeed for many years to come. Rob, let's get down to business. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is off and running as the president of the European Union for the next 6 months. She said this week that the European Union must revive its ratification process for the Constitution, and this before the 2009 European elections. Before I ask about the ratification process, tell me about 2009. What elections would we be talking about?
Okay, within the European Union, there are three bodies, much like the U.S. There's the executive branch, there's the judicial branch, and then the legislative branch.
Mm-hmm.
The European Union Parliament is equivalent to our Senate and Congress in that they're elected by the people in the member states. They are the only people in the European Union that are elected by popular vote. The executive branch is chosen by the member state government leaders, so they are unelected officials. The commission, unelected, is really the power of the European Union. The parliament is sort of to pacify the people and say, see, you have a voice in the European Union, although historically the parliament is a relatively weak power, and they sort of pacify the people by saying, yes, we've reviewed it and discussed it. It's like an open forum to discuss things. So
mm-hmm.
The parliament is there for pictures, if you will, to discuss, and that is the election that is coming up in 2009. The 400-plus, almost 500 members now of the parliament is quite an unwieldy organization, and so they want the Constitution to amend that and reduce the numbers that are involved in the parliament.
Well, now, speaking of the Constitution, Ms. Merkel said that this must be revived, the ratification process. The Constitution must be in place, or it's basically the beginning of the end for the European Union. Can she pull this off?
I think she can without any major trouble. There's going to be, you know, bumps on the road, but she now has France talking that if they would merely add some social declarations into the Constitution. They believe the people would go for it. If they would deal with workers' rights and public services, the French, who had voted no for the Constitution, would reverse their position. And there's even been some rumblings in the last week that the Netherlands, the only other nation to have voted no for the Constitution, that they might be satisfied with just some of these considerations. Europeans are very social conscious. They're very concerned. One of the big tools being used to manipulate them is global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they would just tokenly add some of these statements into the Constitution, they could well reverse their position. Furthermore, Merkel has been suggesting, and others have too, that we don't really need a new referendum to get this passed. Maybe we should deal with it on the governmental level. And this is what they've done in the past with their treaties. So she's a powerful woman. She's very influential. She's well-respected. She could pull this off.
Well, and is it essential that she does so? She says it is. Is it that essential?
Well, it is if they want to continue with the enlargement process. As the European Union gets bigger and incorporates more member states, under the current treaties, they would have to keep enlarging the 715-member parliament to a bigger state, but they would also have to enlarge the commission, and that's really the heart of the concern, I believe. They don't want this commission, this powerful group of individuals, to have to get too big and become unwieldy. So So I think she set a date with the idea this way we have a target. It puts pressure on each member state to move toward the Constitution, and then they can keep the true power base to the size they wish.
Rob, this week also the European Union said they're ready for more military action after what they term a success in the Congo this last summer. And with Kosovo, Bosnia, Lebanon, and Afghanistan at the top of their military agenda, I guess my question is the European Union ready to become a military power in our world today?
Well, yes and no. Their desire is ultimately to have a European Union army. That's how you enforce your politics. That's how you enforce your doctrines. The problem is the Europeans are certainly not very warlike anymore. They're tired of war, and so they resist a true army. However, at this point, they've been depending on the United States Army to be the major person dealing with world problems, but they like the influence. They like being involved in Lebanon and others and seen as the peacemakers. So they need a military arm to add some power behind their diplomatic power.
Well, in addition to that, do they not need that military arm to really gel the United States of Europe, a European Union that's going to be viable in our world?
Well, the army certainly would help. Probably economically, the euro is the real thing that will gel them all. But the army becomes, especially in some of the smaller trouble spots, and that's what they're looking at, is more of a rapid deployment army that can go in and put down isolated problems. As you know, even the Roman Empire used its army to put down rebellions and problems throughout the empire and to maintain overall peace. More than just an aggressive force. So I think that's what they'd be seeing the military as, is if we have a problem in the Balkans, send in our little army and we can deal with the isolated problem.
Interestingly, you bring up the phrase the old Roman Empire. And in our discussions of current events, always, people eavesdropping in our conversations must understand we're reporting these particular current events because they are stage setters for the prophetic scenario found in God's Word to be fulfilled. And in speaking of that, Mrs. Merkel also made the statement that the European Union must accelerate its efforts to bring peace in the Middle East. Rob, can the European Union play a major role in this peace process in the Middle East?
Well, as we've mentioned before, the European Union's goal is to spread around the entire Mediterranean Sea and then over to our Western Hemisphere. Thus, they want to be involved there. They have this neighborhood policy, which we've mentioned many times. It's the preliminary step before membership in the EU proper, and all the Middle East countries are part of that neighborhood policy. They have a major influence there, and in many of the countries, they are viewed as the more diplomatic mode of solving problems versus the American, what is foreseen as hard-handed military solution.
Condoleezza Rice, who is the Secretary of State for the United States, has been traveling this last week throughout the Middle East, meeting with Middle Eastern leaders, both Arab and Jewish leaders. She stopped off in Germany, had a discussion with Mrs. Merkel. These are two strong female leaders getting together. They were talking about the quartet, which is the European Union, United States, United Nations, and Russia, coming together for a meeting later this month. Is it possible that the European Union would like to replace, as the cutting edge, the leadership of the peace process, the United States, if they could?
Absolutely. The European Union repeats over and over, in fact, in two major statements this week. They want to lead the world in economics. They want to lead the world politically. And what they believe is that today the world has a single superpower. That's the United States. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics has left a vacuum, and the European Union intends to move into that vacuum and become the world's second superpower, balancing, and that's their view, to balance the United States superpower. They see that as their destiny, as their role, and of course we who are students of the Bible would see that as them not only wanting to, but achieving that and then moving on beyond that to the power of the world.
I also must bring to our attention the fact that one of the spokespeople for the European Union made a statement this week that Russia is crushing democracy, talking and referring to how Vladimir Putin is taking more and more power in Russia itself, many saying that democracy's going by the wayside. He's going to reinstitute a dictatorship. Now, this all coming before Mrs. Merkel meets with Vladimir Putin. Can the European Union afford to take on and be tough with the Russian leader?
That's very interesting. Now, she's to meet with them tomorrow. The European Union is a very powerful customer of the fuel and energy from Russia. It works both ways. Russia is powerful because they supply the major amount of energy to the European Union. However, the European Union also deals economically. So there is a tension there. I would not see Russia becoming part of the European Union, so that tension will continue and perhaps lead to many of the events that we are looking forward to. So it's really hard to say where they're going. There is a real concern over Russia and its social programs and its freedoms from the European viewpoint, and therefore that tension is going to be a major area for tomorrow's meetings and those that follow with Russia.
This Mrs. Merkel's off and running, as I said at the beginning. She takes this European Union president seriously, doesn't she?
Certainly. She does for a couple of reasons. One is it puts her in the spotlight, which certainly any president enjoys. But even more than that, she sees that it is up to Germany to pull together the union in the plan of a united single European Union, and therefore her strong leadership, she believes it's time that Germany takes that lead. The rest of the world's been hesitant to see a powerful Germany, but she feels that this is the right time for it, and it's the time to move ahead with the union.
Rob, do you think she can turn it around?
I think her influence is so great, and then there is the influence of another gentleman in the European Union that is very supportive of her. It gives her a tremendous power base to carry it on.
That's the voice of Rob Congdon, our birthday boy, right here on Prophecy Today. And indeed, happy birthday to you, dear friend. Thank you for your contribution to the broadcast on a steady basis. We need to know and focus in on the European Union. So, Rob, you bring information to the table we must have at this time in history. Thank you, buddy. Have a great birthday and a good weekend. Talk to you again soon.
Well, thank you, and Lord bless all your listeners.